the appearance of the demon Vritasura. Ata eva swayam tad upakalyasimakam bhagavataha parama gurus tattva charana sata palachak chayam vividha vidinam samsara parimopapasyananim upastritamam vayam yad kaminas padatitataha etad eva swayam tat papakmasimakam bhagavatam paramam guru tava charana satya palaschayam vidi vina samsara parisrama pasyananam upasritanam vayam yat kamina pasiditaha. There's no board. Ata eva, therefore, swayam, yourself, tat, that, bhakalyampaya, please arrange, asmakam, of us, bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, paramaguruhu, the Supreme Spiritual Master, tattva, of you, charana, of the feet, sata palastat, like lotus flowers with hundreds of petals, chayam, the shade, vidha, various, vrina, with dangerous positions, samsara, of this conditioned life, parisrama, the pain, upasinanim, relieving, upastritanam, but devotees who have taken shelter at your lotus feet. Vayam, we, yat, for which, kamena, by the desires, upasatitaha, caused to come near the shelter of your lotus feet. Translation purport by Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Dear Lord, you are omniscient, and therefore you know very well why we have taken shelter at your lotus feet, which provide shade that gives relief from material disturbances. Since you are the Supreme Spiritual Master, and you know everything, we have sought shelter of your lotus feet for instruction. Please give us relief by counteracting our present distress. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for a fully surrendered devotee and are the only means for subduing all the tribulations of this material world. Please repeat. Dear Lord, you are omniscient, and therefore you know very well why we have taken shelter at your lotus feet, which provides shade that gives relief from all material disturbances. Since you are the Supreme Spiritual Master, and you know everything, we have sought shelter of your lotus feet for instruction. Please give us relief by counteracting our present distress. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for a fully surrendered devotee and are the only means for subduing all the tribulations of this material world. Purport. One need only seek shelter at the shade of the Lord's lotus feet. Then all material tribulations that disturb him will be subdued. Just as one comes under the shade of a big tree, disturbances caused by the heat of the scorching sun are immediately mitigated. Without asking for relief, Therefore, the whole concern of the conditioned soul should be the lotus feet of the Lord. The conditioned soul suffering from various tribulations because of existing in this material world can be relieved only when he seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. Okay, text 44, I'll just read it. I'll read the English. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate the dangerous demon Vitrasura, Tatasya's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting. Purport. Those miscreants who are greatly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. O best amongst the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me, the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. The four classes of neophyte devotees are who approach the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, to offer devotional service because the material motives are not pure devotees, but the advantage for such materialistic devotee is that they sometimes give up their material desires and become pure. When the demigods are utterly helpless, they approach the Supreme Personality of God in grief and with tears in their eyes, praying to the Lord, and thus they become almost pure devotees, free from material desires, admitting that they have forgotten pure devotion service because extensive material opportunities, they fully surrender to the Lord, leaving to his consideration whether to maintain them or to annihilate them. Such surrender is necessary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Maraba Radhababa Keva Chetodaha, O Lord, I fully surrender unto your lotus feet. Now as you desire, you can protect me or annihilate me. You have the full right to do either. So we pray in that mood, that ultimately we can surrender, and if we surrender, Krishna puts the big stick on our head and smashes us one time after another. We should take that as stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. And it happens to all devotees, I think, that ultimately we go through trials and tribulations. That's the progress of making it back home, back to Godhead. Without these setbacks, there's no progress. Without negativity, there's no positive turn. So the contrast is always there. And we are careful about what we desire. And so, of course, there is one desire that we can blanketly accept. And anybody know what that is? What's the one desire we can pray for? I have pure devotion to service. That's it. So if we pray for pure devotion to service, we're in good shape. You can't go to the demigods for that. Like, there was a time when one devotee was asking Prabhupada if we can pray to Ganesh for removing the obstacles in devotional service. Can we pray to Ganesh? Well, it was Guru Kripa, and he said to Guru Kripa, you can pray to Ganesh, but you have to give me $100,000 every day. And so he wasn't able to do that. He did a good number. He provided enough money to build the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan and helped in the Bombay temple. So you got to be careful about your desires. One devotee was praying, oh my Lord, in front of Radhasham, he's praying to Radharani, please, this girl, I want to marry her. And she's a beautiful girl and she's French. And I want to marry this girl. Please arrange for this. So he kept praying for that. And so it turned around. It didn't happen for maybe a year, 2 years. And finally it happened. He got married to this girl. And his life has been miserable ever since. She became a prostitute, got AIDS. Two daughters came out of the marriage, and they both became prostitutes. And so you just can't pray for anything material. We may pray to, give a good class. That might be an interesting prayer. But ultimately, prayers are something that we're not following demigods, and they pray for distress relief. And ultimately, demigods are in a condition where there's so much absorbed in the material opulences that they can't understand is a god. Even aliens that come into this planet, from what I've read, is that even the aliens have no idea of God. They have no position in these other planets. God comes to Earth. So, in terms of prayer, we're careful about that. You know, we can pray every day. We're chanting the Ma mantra, and ultimately prayers do come like that. There's one story that came out of Vrindavan with Ganarnava. He said there was a person who he met in the terms of his preaching in the court. He's a court kind of lawyer. And so he kept meeting this person. He kept becoming friendly, and they took prasad together. And so the guy kept insisting, "Don't ask me about my life, but I want to be your friend, and I want you to come to our house, and I want you to, you know, do a house program." So he goes to that man's house, and he was extremely wealthy, huge amount of money. And so he's one of the top money makers in Australia. So the money was just flowing in this person's hands. And so he learned that by being in that house, that from the others who were talking, that this man had the biggest meatpacking plant and the most elaborate sense of delivery of meat to all parts of Australia. He had hundreds of big, huge trailer trucks. And so when he found out, Gennaro was shocked when he found out this is what the man was hiding. And so ultimately he just said, "Forget it, I'm giving it all up." Ultimately they sold the business, and they're much happier, of course. So in terms of one's past karma, we come from different degrees of realization, and ultimately we come from different reasons, like it's mentioned in the sloka. If you're distressed or you're inquisitive, for myself it was an inquiry. We're searching for a spiritual master. And my wife was more intent on this than myself. So she said, "We have to now find a spiritual master." And so there was no finding any spiritual master where I was from. I didn't know any vegetarian until I was 33, until I met her. And so she says, "You must do it now." I said, "Okay." So I was doing a big mural in this restaurant. I took out a big world map. "Okay, if there is a God, let him direct us." And I came down with my eyes closed into the map. And I came to a spot in Costa Rica, 5,000 miles away. We had to go through America, Mexico, Central America, and finally to the Panama Canal Zone, Costa Rica. And there was a devotee coming down the other side. He was coming down the West Coast. And so he was running from the law. And so he ended up in the same place. And so one morning, we're having ice cream at this parlor, and all these different Timothy Leary people were there. And so he comes in and he announces, "I have a guru." Everybody else got up and left. And I said, "Who's your guru?" Then ultimately, he showed a picture of a Prabhupada. And he gave me a Nectar Devotion. That was the first book I got. And so I looked at the book, and I know this person. I passed him on the street in New York back in 66. I was just walking down the street, and this person with pointed shoes, rubber shoes, and walked by. And so I just missed it in a flash. At any rate, I got a job uptown working as a commercial artist, and that was the end of my opportunity. So in terms of desires, I want to bring out a couple points here. We haven't to ask anything in material life or spiritual life, because ultimately God is all prominent in every fashion. He's in our soul, he's in the atom. Ultimately, this idea of the atom being, you know, just from early investigation, you know, Darwin's time, there was no way of understanding what the atom is all about, or it goes into the depths of the integrity of what material science is all about. So the atom ultimately goes so deep, and there's one little machine that turns and spins on itself, going to revolutions that any machine can't do. But a little tiny atom does that. Okay, so in terms of what Krishna provides, he can provide everything in a flash, or he can take it all away. In my case, he took it all away. I was striving to do so many things in material life, making as a big artist, and ultimately, one by one, it all came tumbling down. Like Prabhupada's business took a fall when he was trying to develop his chemical business. So if Krishna's happy with you, you lose everything. And so I guess I was in a good position. In terms of being a recipient of Krishna's mercy, it may come in different ways. Like just a few days ago, lightning struck about 10 feet away. And I thought, well, this is Krishna's mercy. 10 more feet and I would have been fried and dried and dried. And anyway, the guy I read in this newspaper that he was hit by lightning 7 times. Everything he did turned into a disaster. He'd get into a bus and the bus would crash. He'd get into a car and there'd be car accidents. Everything he did turned negative. So some kind of karma is repeating itself from past life. So if we're having any kind of trouble, ultimately it comes out of a previous life. And so the idea about it all is that just don't even look at it, just swim through it. If you take these obstacles and just step over it, ultimately you become more advanced, more fast. And so this guy finally committed suicide because he couldn't handle it any longer. Now, in relation to this, we've heard it over and over again about the demigods asking for all these desires. And so because of their opulence and their fear, and Prabhupada tells a story about the German ladies that ultimately they were praying to God, oh, please, our Lord, in an impersonal way, please bring back my husband, my son, please bring back my brothers. I mean, all these ladies were praying for that. And of course, on the other side, the different sides of the war, they were all praying for the same thing. And so, but none of them came back. And so Germany turned into a whole nation of atheists. And it's still prominent in Germany. The hardest hit place is Germany in terms of our movement. Hansa Duda had nothing but a hard time preaching. But it went on. So Germany is progressing. It's still illegal. And in terms of preaching in Germany, Nostradamus made a prediction, and this is like something revolutionary, that he predicted that he's contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. So he said, what I see is that coming out of the East is a person, a brilliant person, with his clothes of yellow and turning to blue. I see him as a dual kind of personality. And so what I see here is that this person will ultimately come to prominence in 500 years in terms of the millennium change. And so that happened as soon as the Lord Chaitanya's 500 year came. And he also, he was looking at that and seeing that this person's words will be echoed by a person carrying a rod, a danda. And so he will be wearing saffron cloth, and he will be preaching a message that will break the stones, the hard stones of German hearts and German mentality. And so that took place. That ultimately in Germany, it became softened by the words of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's words will be hitting like rocks and breaking rocks, but it'll be touching the warmest part of the life within the heart. And so that happened also. So as devotees, we give up basically material life, and ultimately there's no two ways about it. This has been touched on for so many days. I'm going to jump to Srivas Pandit's disappearance festival is today. So Srivas Pandit, as we know, is Narada, and his younger brother is Parvat Muni. And so that was Ram Pandit. So there are 5 sons, and Srivas was the second in line, so he was second under the older brother. His wife, Malini, was Ambika in Krishna Lila, and she was a wet nurse of Krishna. Malini and Srivas were like mother and father to Nimai. They lived 200 yards down. Srivas Angam is still there. And the pastimes that took place, we know from CC, that so many wonderful things took place. but they were very close. And Shrivas kept asking Nimai, "Will you please get serious about your spiritual life?" Oh, that brings another story. I was just a dream that came up some years ago, and I'm sleeping, and in the dream, Prabhupada came to me. So in the dream, he says, "Get serious about your spiritual life." So yes, you. I got up and I wrote down the whole idea, and so then I go back to sleep, and again he comes. Only this time he comes with somebody else, and this time he's carrying a whole big marble plaque, and on that plaque was inscribed in Latin some words, and he asked me, "Do you understand Latin?" "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, I know Italian." So it's the same almost. "So what does it say?" In big letters, chipped stone, etched in stone, were the words, "Get serious about your spiritual life." So, and then not only did he say that, but he turned to his friend next to him. "He should get serious about his spiritual life." And so I looked over, and it's another Prabhupada, two Prabhupadas face to face, telling me to get serious about spiritual life. And so that's what Srivas Pandit is telling Nimai. Nimai says, "Don't worry, very soon I will be very serious about spiritual life and taking the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. You don't have to worry about that." And so they were very close, and all the time. And then one of the most important elements, I think, in CC is like the 21-hour ecstasy. And it happened in Srivas Pandit's house. And so he goes into the house, and he goes into the deity room, and Lord Chaitanya sat down on the bed. But there's always a bed provided. And Prabhupada wanted that across our movement, that every temple have a small bed to accommodate the deities. And so he sat on the bed, and he exhibited his four-handed form immediately in front of Srivas. And Srivas is just knocked out by this. And so then he revealed it to the whole family. And so then there it goes on more and more, that there was this Dukhi, and he carrying water for Lord Chaitanya, and she became Sukhi, from sad to very happy. And so there was Narayani, this little four-year-old girl, who was there in the house. And that Lord Chaitanya asked her, "You chant with tears in your eyes." And immediately this little four-year-old girl started chanting, and tears shooting out of her eyes in complete transcendental bliss. So Lord Chaitanya touched everybody in the house. And then not only did he touch everybody in the house, but he touched the son who had passed away in the midst of the kirtan. That kirtan was running for the whole day and into the night. Some of these kirtans just would not stop. Vikaswara Pandit was also a 72-hour kirtan man, so dancing would not stop. So Srivas Pandit didn't want it to stop because this incident took place with the son. And so the son passed away, and everybody in the house is lamenting or crying. And Srivas said, "Listen, if you don't stop crying and stop lamenting, I'm going to go to the Ganga and drown myself." And so it calmed them down, so they were a little quiet. So it goes back into the kirtan group, and it goes on and on and on until the middle of the night. And so then Lord Chaitanya finally stopped and sensed something was wrong. And so we heard the story that ultimately he touched the boy, and the boy comes back to life. And so he says, "By your command, I am now ready to leave this body. You've asked me to, I'm following your, whatever your desire is. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by your desire alone, this everything moves and doesn't move. Whether it runs or doesn't run, it's by your desire." And so he says, by your mercy now, I'm allowed to go into another birth. So if you allow me, I'll take advantage of that." And so he passed on, he gave the philosophy, and then he left, you know. Then when the Qazi was introducing this this dictatorium that no sankirtan be heard, no playing of mridang, no drums, and no anything sankirtan. And so turns out that Srivas Pandit was one of the first to hear this, and he just laughed at this order. And the Muslim said to King Qazi, he said, "You will all become Muslims by my demand, and you will lose all your property." And so they thought that was ridiculous. Here's Lord Chaitanya, Supreme Lord. And so in a second, you can countermand any of these stupid laws by a Muslim government. And so when Lord Chaitanya found out about it, "I'm going to kill all these Muslims." And so he was outraged, and his first nonviolent happening took place. That now Gandhi repeated the idea, Martin Luther King also, nonviolent protest movement. It happened with Gandhi. And Prabhupada made a joke about it, that ultimately so many 40 years of nonviolent protest, and nothing happened. Gandhi's protesting through this nonviolent program, not like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came out with the force of, you know, thousands strong, and so he came to the house of the Kazi to destroy it, and so destroyed the Kazi, and he was shaking. He was hiding in his room. And so, but Gandhi, they just kept going on with this nonviolent thing. And so Prabhupada talked about it. He says that, you know, they line up in rows and they go into this, you know, people with clubs, and they get smashed over the face one after another, taking it on the head, like taking it in the face. And so, but the real person who changed the world in India was this Bose. He went to, or he organized the Indian Army. And what they did, he talked to Hitler and Tojo, and he got all the Indians that were surrendering. They gave up fighting because they didn't want to fight for the British anymore, because the British were running India by manpower and money, and Indian money. And so when they saw that the government was changing in terms of, you know, with the leadership of this Jagadish Chandra Bose, he was able to stop the whole violent thing that was going on in India with the British. And so, but nonviolent protests, when Lord Chaitanya came to the house of the Kazi, now he did it in a very nice way. You know, you're my distant relationship because of Chakra, you're one of the, I forget. And so in any case, there was a contact there. And so he says, okay, you're, as you know, ultimately, your Muslims are killing your mother. And so, but he says, but you also, you're killing, you're eating, you know, and you're having to kill whatever you eat. And so that exchange went on, and we know the history. We have what's known as split personalities in the material world. In the case of many of our acharyas, they also have split personalities. In other words, like when Srinivasacharya becomes, when he's Narada Muni, then he turns back into Srivasacharya. It doesn't mean like Narada Muni dies or disappears and Srivasacharya appears. No, there's this Tathasta Shakti, there's unlimited potency here. So many have come in different ways. So Lord Brahma, he comes as Haridas and also as Prahlad. And so he's got a split personality. And of course, Dvaitacharya is Sadashiva and also Mahavishnu. And so these are not split personalities like the material world. These are like, you know, empowered beings that we emanate and pray to definitely for advancement in spiritual life. Well, there's some of the stories that came out of that 21-hour ecstasy are pretty interesting, just to recap some of it. That the mango tree, now we're in the mango season now, and so we get a good taste of mangoes. But that mango tree produced mangoes with no skin and no seed. And one mango would satisfy you for a whole day. So we got to eat several mangoes to be satisfied. But that mango tree went on for a whole year. Lord Chaitanya picked 200 the first time. They kept going on for a whole year, providing mangoes for all the devotees. When the kirtan was going on, they have a mango break afterwards. And then in terms of that 21-hour ecstasy, the first thing that happens is Lord Chaitanya says, I am he, I am he, I am. And he's saying, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was very clever in hiding it all those years. And so even to, although Srivas knew it, and Dvaita, he knew it, and a few of the others, they also, the Panchatattva, they all knew that Lord Chaitanya is coming. But he was so clever to hide it that they couldn't be sure. And so finally now he reveals it, I am he. Imagine hearing that or seeing that Lord Chaitanya is sitting there in four hands and declaring that he is the Supreme Lord. And so it began like that. But then the different things took place, like Murari Gupta comes, and he's gifted as being Hanuman. So he gets on the shoulders of Murari Gupta and dances with a club and becomes, Ramachandra. And this kirtan went on for a whole year without stop in Srivas Pandit's house, the Yangam. One astrologer approached Lord Chaitanya and was asked, Lord Chaitanya asked, who was I in my previous life? So he thought on it and meditated on it. The guy was a good meditator as well as a good astrologer. And so he saw that this personality was God. Actually, in his previous life, he had so many wonderful pastimes and able to establish so much in terms of what God can do on his planet. And so he just was bewildered. And so then again, he looked at Lord Chaitanya. He says, well, I'm a little confused. So I says, what I see here, what I've come to my meditation, you are a Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so what, and so you're going to be, doing so much in this life in terms of liberating conditioned souls. And so he said, no. I was a cowherd boy. And I said, I was just a simple cowherd boy living in Vrindavan. So whatever you may say, but all I'm doing is paying my obeisance because you are a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he got on the shoulders of Murari Gupta, and he got the boar incarnation happening by dance with a club. It's mentioned that in terms of accepting our fate, or accepting whatever we have in terms of living in this conditional world with whatever miseries that come, whatever opulence comes. Look at the tree. The tree is a personality embodied in this form for thousands of years, but making no, as Prabhupada mentioned, there's no complaints. He'll give everything, fruit, tree, will give everything, branches, ultimately itself. And so we have to be a little bit in that condition, in that space, that the conditioned life doesn't affect us, but we give everything and ask for nothing. So a devotee does that. Ultimately, in terms of devotional service, this is our whole mood, that we give and we take nothing. I'm going to talk a little bit. I was asked to talk about Brahmananda. Brahmananda, he took everything and gave nothing for me. And so he was doing me a favor because he asked, I told a story the other day, and in any case, tell it again briefly, that these were the transcendental pirates of ISKCON. And so Garga Muni was called Garga Muni by Srila Prabhupada. He started with nothing. He came, they had to run from the law in America. So they were like evading the law, and they came to Vrindavan because they did a violation of copyright. And so these two transcendental pirates, Garga Muni had seven monitors in front of him. And he was stealing from each monitor different programs that were going on in ISKCON and outside ISKCON. So he was making CDs and just pumping them out one after another. So, and Brahmananda and he were like two transcendental pirates. And so they asked me to help him in a couple ways. And one way was to make a footprint of Prabhupada from his footprints and mass produce it and stamped in metal. And so I said, well, I'll investigate, see if it can be done. Where we can find a big press and how to do this thing, or if it's lost wax, how are we going to make these things in mass produce? But I need 10,000 rupees in order to do it. So they gave me 10,000 rupees, very difficult getting money out of either of those two guys. And so I went to Jaipur with a couple others, and we tried every possible way, but we couldn't find any means to do it. So I came back to him and I says, well, I got some good news and bad news. The good news, I found out the answer. The bad news is I lost your 10,000 rupees. Oh, no, you can't do that. This is like, we wrote the book, you can't cheat out of 10,000. But I gave him the invoice, and we spent it in trying to figure out how to do it. It couldn't be done. And so later I cooked some bagels for these wonderful Jewish boys, and they were pacified. So, Brahmananda kept insisting that he was the first devotee. And so he was the first one to see Prabhupada. I said, no, you're not the first. I'm the first. I saw him walking down the street in 1966. He was just walking near Topkin Square Park. I was living just near the park. Then he said, well, Chippewalla, I was the first devotee to go to Chippewalla. I said, what was in the cupboard? Chippewalla is the place where Prabhupada had his preaching going on in Delhi. So he was very close to the paper market, so from there he could go out. But his friend, Pandey, was able to give him that room free. And so that room was kept intact for Prabhupada. And so in the cupboard were a whole stack of these dust covers. It was about that many piled up. And I asked him, what was in the cupboard? He said, well, it was empty. I said, when I got there, it was full of those dust covers. So he wasn't the first one in that room. And upstairs was a lady living very close to Prabhupada, but on the roof. And so I was up there doing a drawing, making a painting of Prabhupada from his view, looking at the Jumna Mosque. And so I was doing that, and she came over and asked what I was doing. I explained I'm researching, doing this painting for our spiritual master. And who's that? And I showed her some Back to Godhead's magazine. She looked at that, and she started crying. She almost dropped dead because she never had any idea. Prabhupada was in his room, and sometimes would go and sometimes come back. As he go back and forth, Vrindavan and Delhi. But suddenly, he never came back. And so she was in a quandary, had no idea what he was doing or where he went. So when she saw those magazines, oh, he did it. He did what he was going to, he said he's going to do this. He did it. He's going to change the world and make temples all over the world. He did it. So ultimately, that lady was completely astounded by this whole thing. So, one last point is, I could ask her a question. There's one running debate that took place with Garga Muni, and there's four other sannyasis that took place. And they were claiming that they were making this supposition that Prabhupada is God. And so, even today, or last time I talked to him, not today, but last time I talked to Brahmananda at Garga Muni, he says, yes, for us, Prabhupada is God. We don't know Krishna directly, so Prabhupada we know. So he's our God. And so they looked at it that way. But the movement was very upset by this whole thing. And Prabhupada, he banished the whole four of these. There was three, four sannyasis that got banished from the whole movement. And because of this idea that if Prabhupada is God, that means anybody directly in line behind me is Acharya. And so ultimately this new Acharya business was started even in Prabhupada's time. And Prabhupada just said, that's not the etiquette. You don't start initiating in the presence of the guru. And so in time, you'll all initiate, but not in the presence of while I'm still alive. And so they were rectified, and they got taken to Detroit, I think, with Bhagavan. And ultimately, they were told to just be dropped. They were like in prison. And so they got left, and they were like walked out the door with no shoes, no place to go, no money, no clothes, just what they had. And so they went on. Ultimately, they started making temples, Vishnujan went south, and Brahmananda stayed that area. And so ultimately they did what they had to do. They started preaching, and ultimately they were very successful. Garga Muni started with nothing in Vrindavan. He built up a small little fortune because he had the ability. He was born in a Jewish family, and it's natural. So you go there today, you'll see out front they got a store. They're mass producing everything that you can possibly want. All of Prabhupada's books. BBT was giving it was cost a lot of money to get the folio. And so they started pirating and gave it practically free. And so there were some good things and some bad things ultimately, but Brahmananda was a pirate number one. Then he gave Prabhupada, he gave one of the first money he's given was George Harrison gave the money for printing the Krishna book. And Jayananda gave money, another 5,000. But Brahmananda gave $5,000. And so, Prabhupada very happy at receiving that money. And he says, well, now I have my 3-volume books. I'd like to have you have a set. And it costs so much money. He says, but you're not going to give me free? He said, no, that's one thing, the donation, but the books are separate. And so he made a distinction. Okay, now you got to pay for the books. He was very unhappy about that. But Brahmananda, he confided in me so many times that he was so close to Prabhupada. Prabhupada called him, like with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, Where's Tamal? Where's Brahmananda? These names were like repeated over and over again because they were right there. Key personalities that they did the needful. They had no desires really except to satisfy Srila Prabhupada. And that is the way we emanate these great souls, because ultimately they were able to do that. They were able to progress in a movement where there was nothing. You know, in a time when it was difficult, difficult times make it easier to get faster and go further. And so they did a wonderful job in that regard. So we just follow in the steps of Srivas Pandit, and ultimately he's the pure devotee, pure exemplary of how we should lead our life and how we should satisfy the Supreme Lord by doing everything we can in the power to please the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go Premanandi. We still got some time. Anybody, any questions? Oh, there's one over there. Got a microphone? I speak real loud, I'm lose my hearing.
Hare Krishna. It's not a question, but it's about the taking shelter of the lotus feet.
Say it again, speak real into it.
It is not a question, it's about taking shelter of the lotus feet. The purport was about the lotus feet, and I just wanted to share a small something.
Take more shelter of lotus feet?
Yeah, can I say something on it?
Oh.
Yes?
Yeah. Well, Krishna's feet are so big, you know, there's taking shelter is no problem. Because his baby print is that big. And so it means his full-size print is that big. And so, and that means he's at least 18, 19 feet tall. But the lotus feet is what encompasses all the creation. And so being under the shelter of lotus feet is like under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's feet. So Prabhupada has small feet, but his feet spread all over the world. And when he walked, he didn't touch the ground so often. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it on different occasions. He was walking, but he was not touching, he was just gliding. So if we take shelter of Prabhupada, ultimately, you know, that shelter carries through this life, but no difficulties. Ultimately, if we have difficulties, it means we're doing something maybe that has to be corrected. And so ultimately the correction comes in the way of minor, like the fan, you unplug it and it's still moving, as the analogy goes. Or the idea of truth. You know, when we speak of truth, we follow in the line of the acharyas. And so ultimately we're in the shade of not only, you know, of Prabhupada, but the whole parampara going to Krishna. So that shade is like very cooling. So like today now, it started raining, it got very cool from the heat. And so the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord is given as an analogy, but it's, you know, it's true that ultimately if we take the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord, ultimately there's no difficulties. Does that answer that? Anybody else? Get an agree? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.